Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We left off in daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So we were in the middle of discussing the halachos of writing an adrachta. An adrachta that Rashi explained was a psak din that allows the malveh to go into the nechasim of the loveh and collect his money, because the loveh had claimed that he can disprove the shtar, he just needs time. We gave him his time, he didn't disprove the shtar, he never came back. So we write an adrachta that allows the malveh to come and collect from the loveh. So we're about 10 lines before the end of the page. First one line is mekarkai. I believe is what we're up to. We're in the middle of the line. V'chi kasvina nadrachta modi'inanle. When we do write an adrachta, we have to let the lover know that we wrote an adrachta and that we're allowing the malva to collect his money. V'hani mili de mikrav. That's if the lover is close by. Aval mirchak, lo. But if he's very far away, so it's going to be impossible to let him know. So we don't have to let him know. V'mirchak v'ika krov mina mika shayar sa da'azli va'asu hasam. Mashinu le'tresi yachi shasa adazla v'asi shayarta. If he's at a faraway place, but there are people that are going to be traveling in that direction, so then we wait 12 months for people to go there, let him know, and give him a chance to get back and do something about it, so that he could be properly informed before we write the adrachta. Because after all, ki hadravino shahal maracha treser yachi shasa ad azlava asya shayarta mibechuzai. When Ravina had the episode with Maracha, who was owed money by somebody, so he also waited 12 months for the guy because there were shayaros that were going in that direction. So he figured he'll wait 12 months till the guy comes back. But it's really not true. That's not a raya at all. Just because Ravina did it, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to give the guy that kind of time in order to come back when you have shayaros that are going. Because hasam inish alima hava, Maracha happened to have been a very strong guy. And there was no going back on this. Once he got the adrachta, you would never be able to get that property away from him again. So Ravina wanted to be absolutely certain in that case that he was collecting the property legally and that everything was okay. So that's why he gave him that extra kind of time. But normally we would never give that kind of time. Aval hacha lo natrina le ela adazul shlicha betlasa b'shabata va'asa barba b'shabata ulchamisha b'shabata kai b'dine. Right, for our purposes, or the whole amount of time that we wait is for the shliach to go out on Tuesday, come on Wednesday, and start the din Torah on Thursday. Why do we assume it's Tuesday? So Tos says the mistama b'sheni danahu. Right, probably the din Torah was on Monday. Beis Din meets on Mondays and Thursdays, so it's the easiest to do the chashmin that way. You don't get Shabbos in the middle or anything. So assuming the din Torah was on Monday, we send the shliach out on Tuesday. We assume the guy is informed by Wednesday and he's coming. He has a Wednesday as a travel day. And Thursday, we started in Torah. Amravina, hay shluchad rabbanan mehemnina like a beit trei. Whenever you have a shliach beis din to go and issue a subpoena, we believe that shliach beis din like two edim. Meaning, if shliach beis din says the guy refused to come, so we believe him that as if two edim said that the guy refused to come. V'hani mili l'shamta, but that's only in terms of putting the guy into a shamta, into a type of cherim. Aval psicha, but to actually write a shtar shamta on the guy. Kivin de mamonu kamachasule, since that's going to cost him money, the kabay le mesav le zuzi le safra, because someone's got to pay to have the shtar written, the sofer has to get paid. So then we're not going to trust one aid, one shliach beis din, for the purposes of writing the shtar, because writing the shtar is something that the guy, the lov himself, is going to have to pay for. So we want to make sure that he was informed in advance that they were going to put him in this shamta. So the couple of issues. First of all, Marik raises the question. The Gemara says this great chiddush that we believe a shliach beis din kibei trei. If you look at the very next line of the Gemara, it's going to be Amar Avinu Yavin Zimna Apuma de Itza. We even issue a subpoena with a woman. A woman could be the shliach beis din to issue a subpoena. So what's the great chiddush? That you believe a shliach beis din kibei trei? We even believe a woman in this case to be a shliach beis din. What's the Gemara adding with this chiddush? So the Maharik in Tshuvat Sadi Gimel is mitarets that the fact that we believe in Isha, that's based on the idea of Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichuso. And therefore, if she was Mazmin, if we told her to be Mazmin somebody to a Din Torah on a certain day, and that day arrives and the person doesn't come, based on the woman's chazaka that she did her shlichus, we're going to put the guy in chayim. There's going to be a nidoy for not showing up to his husband on the right time. But let's say the woman doesn't. The woman comes back and says, right away, I issued a subpoena to him, and he said that he's going to, that he's refusing to come, that he's not listening to you. So do we wait till the date arrives and put him in chayim then? Or do we say, well, look, the guy already said verbally that he refuses to come, he's not showing up, so maybe we can put him in chayim right now. So when it comes to the Isha, she doesn't have ne'amanus. There's a chazaka that she did her shlichus, but she doesn't have ne'amanus to say what happened. So we would not put the guy in chayim right now based on the Isha's edus that he said such and such. But the Shliach Beis Din, that's the extra chiddush of the Shliach Beis Din. The Shliach Beis Din were ma'aminu kevei trei. We believe him like two edim, meaning even if he reports back something that occurred, we believe him on what he claims occurred. The Taurus Chaim says that the chiddush is that if the Shliach says the ploni biza osi, or he was mevaza sadayanim, so then we'll put him into a shamta based on that. If he claims that the guy acted entirely inappropriately, as opposed to the Isha, she issues a subpoena, and we believe that she issues a subpoena, but you're not going to believe her when she starts making claims about how inappropriately the guy acted and things that he was saying. So that's one major ha'ara on this Gemara. The second major ha'ara on this Gemara is from the Benu Meir, is Medayik from our Gemara, where the Gemara says that he's got it, the Lova has to pay for the Shtar Shamta that's going to be written against himself. So he says, you see from here that whenever there are expenses incurred in issuing a subpoena and getting someone to come to court, whenever the Malvin General has to go through any sort of expense in order to get the Lova to show up, the Lova is always going to have to reimburse him for the expense, because after all, isn't the Shtar Shamta exactly for that? It's in order to encourage him to come to court because he's causing trouble. So any expense that the Malva is going to have to incur is going to be paid back by the Lova. The Gedulei Truma is not so thrilled with that idea. He says, no, maybe over here it's different because it wasn't the Malva that was paying for it originally, it was the Beis Din that was paying for it originally. So you have to reimburse the Beis Din. But anything, any expense that the Malva goes through, maybe in Echinami, that's the Malva's expense. The Lova doesn't have to reimburse. Okay, that's the second major discussion here. Says Gemara Vayter, Amar Ravina, Yavina Zimna Apuma De'itzva Apuma De'shivvi. We do issue a subpoena based on a woman or based on neighbors that are going, and then the Gemara is going to make three major qualifications to this where it's not so clear cut. V'lo amran el delese b'masa. That's only if the guy's not in town. Avlise b'masa lo. But if the guy is in town, we're not going to issue a hazmana based on a woman, with a woman as the shliach. Darminan emer lo amri le, because we assume the woman or the neighbors are going to say, why should I tell him that he has to show up to Beis Din? Darmri yashke chinu shliach de Beis Din v'amri le. He's in town. Some of the shliach Beis Din will find him. The shliach Beis Din will tell him. And second qualification, v'lamran el delo chalaf avbab of the Beidina. Also, the woman or the neighbor can only be the Shliach Beis Din if the guy doesn't happen to walk by the Beis Din all the time. But if he does walk by the Beis Din all the time, then we're not going to trust them to be the Shliach Beis Din. Because again, they're going to assume that the Beis Din will find the guy and the Beis Din will tell the guy. And third qualification, that's only if he's coming home that day. But if he's not going to be coming home that day, we assume that we're not going to trust the woman to or the neighbor to be the one to issue the subpoena. Ema ishtaluye ishtali, because we could assume that they're going to forget their shlichus by the time he comes home. So if it's a very short period of time and they're going to remember to do their shlichus, fine. A longer period of time, we assume they'll forget their shlichus. 6-7 lines from the top on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Rava, Haiman de Kasavale Psicha al de Lo Asi Ledina. If we ever had to write a shtar that's going to put someone in a shamta, it's going to put someone in a cherem because he didn't show up to Beis Din, we don't rip up that shtar until he actually shows up to Beis Din. He could promise from today until tomorrow that he's coming. Till we see him here, we're not going to rip up that shtar. If we wrote a cherem because he didn't listen to the Din Torah, then we're not going to rip it up until he's tzayis ladina, until he listens to the psak din velohi. But that second thing is not correct. Kivan damar tzayasna karina lay. In reality, if he just says, "Okay, I submit to the psak of the beis din, I'm going to listen," so right away we could be korei the shtar. We don't have to wait till he actually follows through and we see him pay back. Says the Rama, quoting the Shita Mukbetzes, he says, "Yeah, that's the first time." But if he says, "I'm going to listen," and then we rip up the shtar, and then a couple of weeks later he still hasn't listened, then we have to write another shtar. So then he says, "Okay, no, now I'm really going to listen. No, you fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. No way, we're not going to rip up the shtar so quickly. We're going to wait till the second time. We're going to wait till he actually listens to the psak din." Amar Rav Chisda, kavum zman sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. We're kovei hazman for a guy to come to Beis Din Monday, Thursday, and then the following Monday. Zimna basar zimna ulamachar kasvin. And then on that following Tuesday, we write the Shtar Shamta. Meaning, we give him three chances. We tell him, Monday is your time to come to Beis Din. Doesn't show up, we say Thursday. Doesn't show up, we say Monday again. Three times we issued a subpoena and he didn't show up. Then comes the Shtar Shamta. Then we're going to... then we're going to write this Shtar Shamta to put him in Cherim. Now, the Rav Asi Ikla Be Rav Kahana, Chaza Yitzhak Da'azman al Dina Bepanya, Rav Asi went to Rav Kahana and he saw once that there was a woman who they subpoenaed her to court in the evening. It has to be before nightfall because the basin's closed at night. Ubit Safra Kasavale Psicha, and then the next morning already they wrote a Psicha against her. Samalei Lo Savala Marla Hadam Rav Chisda Kovins Man Sheni V'Chabish V'Sheni. So, what do you doing? Don't you hold the Monday, Thursday, Monday? Don't you give her three chances? But just overnight, that's it? She doesn't show up that day and you're already writing something against her? I'm like, no. Hanimili Gavra da Anis Gavra da Anis Velese Bemasa. When do we give three chances? By a man where it's Shaykh that he's out of town, right? It's not his fault, so he couldn't show up. Aval Itza Kimin de Ise Bemasa Velasya Moradisi. But a woman, since she's always in town, because women didn't travel, they didn't have business, they weren't going anywhere, so she's Moradis. If she doesn't show up the next morning, she's not doing anything else. She's not out of town. She has to show up to the Beis Din. This L'chora would be one of those halachas that can change, meaning we have to know which halachas in the Gemara can change with the Metzius and which won't. But if a woman L'chora, nowadays where women travel every bit as much as men, L'chora this would be one. I didn't see it in Shulchan Aruch, but I assume this would be one that would change. That if the woman it's a practical thing. If she's not in town, so then it's shaykh that she's not in town. So the subpoena would not have immediate repercussions. She'd have the three chances. The big kasha that we shouldn't deal with is the fact that the Gemara in Mor Katan Daf Tezayin learns from Psukim that you issue a subpoena twice, that you give two subpoenas and then you put the person in Cherim. Well, it doesn't say then you put the person in Cherim, but the Gemara darshans from Psukim that you need two subpoenas to the Beis Din. You need a hazmana to Beis Din twice. Over here it's very clear, it's Sheni, Chamishi Visheni. And the way at least Rashi understands it is you ask them to come to Beis Din on Monday, you ask them again to come on Thursday and again on Monday, which is very clearly, it seems, three times that you issue a hazman al din. So which is it? Is it two times or three times? So there are two ways of answering this question. The Rama, according to Shita Mukbetzes, is mitaretz that over here you're also mazmin only twice. That sheni v'chamishi v'sheni doesn't mean that on the first that you're mazmin the person to come the first Monday. It means on the first Monday you're mazmin them to come on Thursday. And then on Thursday, you're mazmin them to come on Monday. I mean, Beis Din has to be together in order to issue the hazmana. So the first Monday was the day of Beis Din. That's when they issued the hazmana, but that wasn't the original date. So it's really only two times that you issue hazmana. Other Rishonim, who say not that way, who assume clearly in our Gemara that it's three times, and Mistama will explain the Gemara in Mo'ed Katan as just proving that you need more than one hazmana. Once we prove you need more than one hazmana, so mainly you're going to need three. Why? Because what's the svara of two? There's no svara for two. One, you could say, okay, you have one chance and then you're done. The next thing that makes sense is that you need a person to be muchzak as being mesariv to come to Beis Din. So once they're muchzak, which takes three times, so then you're going to issue the shamta. But it's only if it's three times, the Gemara is just proving that you need more than once from Psukim. Okay, Amrav Yudah, lo yehivna zimna lo biyam inisim lo biyam itishra. We don't issue a hazmana for for someone to come to Beis Din during Nisan or Tishrei. Why not during Nisan or Tishrei? So Rashi says, Ein mazmin adam l'din b'nisan b'tishrei shein zman katzir ubatzir. That during Nisan is the time of the katzira, of harvesting the fields, and during Tishrei is the bitzira of the of other crops, of the olives or the grapes. And so during Nisan it's the katzira sasaorim, right? So since people are busy out in the fields, so you can't expect them to come to Beis Din during that time. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, says no, there's something else Nisan and Tishrei have in common. Namely, it's Yom Tovim, right? So it's people are too busy with the Yantiv, so you can't issue Hazmana. Everyone's very busy with the Yom Tovim. The Rif quotes a girsa, has a girsa, that lo b'yom Nisan v'lo b'yom Tishrei v'lo b'yom Sivan. The Rif says not Sivan either. So that's what the Achronim debate. What does the Rif mean? Does the Rif mean to say more like Rashi or more like the Rambam? So Beis Yosef says, it sounds like he's saying more like the Rambam, that B'yom Sivan, what does Sivan have? Sivan is Shavuos. So obviously the Rif holds any time that you have a Yantif. So mainly you're not going to be able to be Mazmin someone for a Yantif. The Gedulei Truma, however, says, no, Shavuos is going to kill your whole month. Okay, Tishrei and Nisan, I understand very well. Those are major, long Yomim Tovim that can kill your whole month. Shavuos is really going to kill the whole month. It's a day. Right, that's not something that we're going to say you can't be masmin someone to a din Torah based on in the first week of the month he has one day where he has to take off. That's ridiculous. So he says no. Yom Sivan is because the Rif really holds like Rashi that it's an agricultural thing, that it's a farming thing, because Yom Sivan is Zman Ktsira Schitim. It may Nisan maybe the Zman Ktsira Saorim, but the Zman Ktsira Schitim is in Sivan, and that's why he's too busy to come. Anyway, so we don't issue subpoenas for these days. Lo b'mali Yom Tov v'lo b'mali Shabbata, nor on Erev Yantiv or Erev Shabbos. Avol miNisan lebasar Yom miNisan. However, we will issue a subpoena during Nisan for the guy to come after Nisan. Ubiyom Tishrei lebasar Tishrei Kavinan, and for we will issue one during Tishrei for the guy to show up after Tishrei. But mimali Shabbata lebasar mali Shabbata lo kavinan. But from erev Shabbos to tell him to come right after Shabbos, that we're not going to issue as mana. My time, but vidid Shabbat atar, because we assume he's busy with the Shabbos preparations, he's going to forget all about it. Aye, a guy busy with his yontif preparations will forget all about it also. No, but then you have such a long time to think about it, so he may forget about it for some time, but eventually he'll remember. Whereas when you tell him on Friday, he's got to show up on Monday, so he'll forget about it and he won't have time to remind himself. That's how the Shittim Gretz explains. Such a short time, it's not Shaykh that he's going to forget. The Zman Meruba, in such a short time, it is Shaykh he's going to forget. But Zman Meruba, he may forget, but he'll also have time to remember. Amrav Nachman, lo yavinin zimna lo l'bnei kala b'kala lo l'bnei rigla b'rigla. We don't issue hazmana to a din Torah for the people who attend the kala. The kala is the weekly shir. We don't issue, the shliach Beis Din doesn't stand outside the door of the shir issuing hazmanos to anyone who shows up to the shir who's needed in Beis Din. Lo l'bnei rigla b'rigla, that's the shir that they would give. Rashi says, b'rigla ba'in l'shma hilchos ha-regel kodem regel amad yom. The shir that they would give within 30 days of a yantif, teaching about the halachos of the yantif. So again, the Shliach Beis Din doesn't stand outside of the Beis Din issuing a subpoena at those shiurim. We don't want to use that as a format for the Shliach Beis Din, because then people are going to stop showing up to the shiurim if it's going to be a legal risk to them. He have also the command of Rav Nachman. When they came to Rav Nachman and they said, we want to issue a subpoena at your shiur, Amalu v'chilu d'du k'nu fa'ichu. Oh, you think I gather all these people here together for you? So that you can so you can be Muslim people to within Torah. But nowadays, where so many people slip away, so any chance we get, we try to issue the hazmanah, even if it means doing so at the public shir. Now, Rashi in Maseches Yevamos, quoted in the Pnine Rashi, printed on the side of some of the newer editions of the Gemara, Rashi in Maseches Yevamos writes on the word berigla, ubetshuvas hagaonu matzasi, kalhanach rigli damurai hainu yom shemespo adam gadol. Rigla does not mean what Rashi says here, that it's the 30 days before Yantif when they would establish shiurim to learn about the halachos of the Yantif. No. Rigla means that on the day that an adam gadol died, Kovmosa l'kvoda, they would make his yard site a special day to honor him. Umidei shana b'shana k'shemagia oso yom miskabtzim tamirichom mikol svivav Ubaim al Kivro im Sha'ar Ha'am Lahoshav Yeshiva Sham. So there's a source for the idea that on a, to have a yard site shir, that on the yard site they would gather together Talmidei Chachamim and they would say a shir, they would have Torah learned to be Moshivin Yeshiva al Kivro of that Talmud Chacham. So that's the Rigla. So yard site shir was the Rigla. It's interesting, according to Rashi here, how do we define Rigla? Rigla is the shir that they would have 30 days in advance of the Yom Tov, which is interesting because it's called Rigla, which is just the Aramaic word for Regel. And the major question all the Rishonim deal with, the Ran and Birlacha discusses at the beginning of the fifth Chelek of Mishra Brura, is that there are two Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Pesachim that tells us that Yerushalayim v'Darshan b'Hilchos Chag Lamed Yom called them a Chag. They spent 30 days before the Yom Tov preparing for the Yom Tov. And there's Gemara Megillah that says that we're Darshan Hilchos Chag b'Chag, that we learn the halachos of the Yom Tov on Yom Tov. And all the Rishonim deal with the question of which is it? Is it Biregel that you darshan the halachos of the Regel, or is it Shloshim Yom Kodem a Regel? So one of the Achronim answers, I think, I don't think it's in the Rishonim, but I think the Chassam Sofer answers that Biregel doesn't mean on Yom Tov. Biregel means in the Yantif season. L'chara, this is a raya, right? We're calling Birigla. What does Rashi say Birigla? Birigla means the 30 days before Yantif. So it's not a stira at all. When we say that we're darshan the halachos of a certain Yantif, Birigla means around the time of the Yantif. And it says in Gemara Vayter, Im hayadavar sheish b'achrai is chayav l'shalim. So if the item that the father left for the kids was something that had a chrayus, then they would have to pay it back, even though normally they wouldn't. So Masi Rebbe, the Rebbe Shimon Berei, lo davar sheish b'achrai is malamish, doesn't literally mean only karka. Even a cow that he uses to plow, or a chamar that he works with, and they would still have to return it because of the covet of their father, because it makes it obvious, but everyone sees it, everyone realizes that the father stole it, so it looks terrible. What about something that he uses, but he uses inside his own home? So is that something that's also going to be bizarre to the father, if people are going to see that they have this stolen item? Or is, because it's something that is used only in the privacy of his own home, maybe it's not as recognizable to people? I mean, do we assume that he has guests, people come in and out of his house, so people will know about this? Or do we assume that since it's in the privacy of his own home, maybe not as many people would know? So he said, you know what? Make the connection. You know, connect the dots yourself. That I gave you examples of a para and a chamar, but really it's anything that it's shaykh is going to embarrass the father. So these things are shaykh that will embarrass the father as well. May not be as obvious, but that's why v'yech kamod. I give the chacham some food for thought, and you have to build on that food for thought and use it to expand the idea a little bit. Ein part in new Mishnah. Ein part in lomi tevus hamochsin v'lomi kishal gabayin. If you need a change, let's say you owe somebody the tax collector money, so you shouldn't take change from his tax collecting box. Moches and gabayin are two different types of tax collectors, but it's the same idea. Ve'ein melton me'am tzedakah. Nor should you take tzedakah from the tax collecting box, because we assume it's all stolen money. Avol notel humitoch beso omen ashuk. But if the tax collector gives you something from his house, from his own funds, from his private funds, or from funds that he has in the shuk, so then you're allowed to take from him. So long as it doesn't come from his tax collector's box, because we assume all that is stolen property. Says the Gemara Tana, we have a brisa, v'nosin lo dinar v'nosin lo sashar. You can give him a dinar and he'll pay the rent. I mean, if you were owed him prutos, you owed him a smaller amount that was worth a chatzi dinar, and you don't have that small change, you're allowed to give him a full dinar of kesef and take change from him from the box, from the tax collector's box. So Fraktigmar, wait a second, Mochsin, for the tax collectors, you're not allowed to take their money, you're not allowed to take tzedakah from them. From Shmuel Dina de Malchusa Dina, why do we assume all taxes are stolen property? Don't we have a concept of Dina de Malchusa Dina, that the law of the land is the law, and therefore they're legally allowed, halachically, they're allowed to collect the taxes? So what's the big problem over here? So Amar Rav Chanina Bar Kana, Amar Shmuel, b'moches shein lo kitzva. No, we're dealing over here with a moches shein lo kitzva, that there's no set amount. He just takes whatever he wants. So that's not din. Din and Malchus Adina up to a point, but if he's abusing the power, that's not okay. No, it's not a moches who was appointed by the by the king, it's a Machis who is self-appointed. He goes around and collects money from people, and he's strong, and he has like a private army of people that will kill you. So such a person is obviously a Ganav. So those are the two answers. So a couple of important things. First of all, the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilah V'Aveidah writes that any time you have someone who's has b'nei adam shechazkasim gazlanin v'cheskas kol mamona min hagezel, people who have a chazaka that they are gazlanim and that all their money comes from gezel, mipnei shemalachton gazlanos, because that's what they do. Kigon hamochsin v'alistin, he says, for example, like mochsin and listin also, but mochsin, you're not allowed to get any anar from them, because we assume everything they have is guzzel. Now the kasha that everyone asks on the Rambam is, what are you talking about? Our Mishnah says that you're only not allowed to take from their tax collecting box. From their private funds you're allowed to take. You don't assume everything they have is stolen. So Beis Yosef says, no, there's a big difference between our Mishnah and what the Rambam's talking about. In our Mishnah, we're talking about when you're exchanging something for him, you're getting change from him. So then you're not allowed to take from the tax collector's box. But he's not really getting hana from the gezel. You're giving as much as you're getting. So in that case, we're only going to be extra machmir not to take from his tax collector's box. But if he's stam giving you money, and you're not giving anything to get that money, so then you got to be super careful. Then you can't take anything, because then you're really getting hana straight from him. So that's hara number one. Now, number two is dinin d'malchus d'dinah. We obviously can't have a full-blown discussion right now of dinin d'malchus d'dinah, but some very basic ideas in terms of what's the svara of dinin d'malchus d'dinah. Why is dinin d'malchus d'dinah a halacha? So the Rashbam writes, because anyone who lives in a country has accepted the laws of that country. By choosing to live here, we've accepted to live by the laws of the country. So Mela, the din of the Malchus is going to be binding. Other Rishonim say that no, the Ran writes, for instance, that it's because the entire country belongs to the Melech. So since it's his country, if you don't like it, get out. But it's not that, you don't have to be Mekabel. It's not that you're Mekabel, it's that it's his country, so it's his rent. It's like if you have a landlord that charges exorbitant rent, so you have another option besides for paying the rent. The other option is find somewhere else to live. So if the Melech owns the country, if you don't like his laws, find somewhere else to live. But he has the right to lay down the law. That's what the Ran says. And that's why the Ran, people who know one Ran in Shas, know the Ran in Nedarim about Dinin Malchus Adina. Because that's where the Ran says, so if that's what Dinin Malchus Adina is based on, what about a country where we all have a right to it, where it doesn't belong to the Melech, where any Melech that's there is not the real owner of the country. We're all owners of the country, namely Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu promised it to all the children of Avraham Avinu. So we all own the country. So that's what the Ran says. You're not going to say Din Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a big discussion in the Rishonim, whether that's true or not. Is it because you have to abide by the Malchus because of either Hefker Bezin Hefker, some Rishonim say, and he has the Srara because he's the Melech, or as we said, because you implicitly agree to follow the laws, or is it because he owns it? If you say it's because he owns it, then you have that unique nafkamina for Eretz Yisrael. Shef always likes to point out that even if you say like the Ran, that only works for taxes that are there for the king to pad his own treasury or something like that. But to taxes that are raised to have garbage collection and pave roads and have a police force and do things that serve everybody. So such taxes are not really a din of mechas, not really a din of a tax. That's really a din of a shutfus. Meaning if you live in an apartment building, for instance, and you have to pay for the custodian who cleans up the hallways and who makes sure the light bulbs in the hallways and the garden in the front for the flowers, so you pay a certain fee for all the things that are b'shutfus, so that that's obviously you have to pay for, because that's just it's something that you're getting benefit from, you're a shutuf with everyone else in it. So with those types of things that are services that are provided to everybody, so that's a davar pashut, like shutfim in a mavoy you would have to pay for. So that's a totally different sugyo. We're talking about stam taxes, where the king wants extra taxes to make sure that he has a nice treasury. Okay, ikad demasin laha. Others say those two answers that we just said in connection to the following. Person shouldn't wear shatness even on top of 10 other sets of clothing in order to get away from the tax collector.
Because apparently he would charge a lot of taxes for whatever clothing you would carry around with you, but your personal effects, things that you were wearing, he wasn't going to charge you for. So people would look like football players wearing all this clothing and hoping to sneak by that he wouldn't notice, right? So Masisim to Rabbi Akiva, and that's against Rabbi Akiva, Ditanya, Asalav Riachas Amechas. Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to run away from the tax collector. Rabbi Shimon Amrishim Rabbi Akiva, Mutalav Riachas Amechas. Rabbi Shimon says in the name of Rabbi Akiva, you are allowed to run away from the tax collector. So Bishlam, leaning Klayim Bakamifli. I understand very well when it comes to Klayim, when it comes to the Isra of Klayim, the Marsav is Davashem Niskavin Mutter, Marsav Davashem Niskavin Aser. Right? You're not getting Kavana, you're not having Kavana to be Nena from the Beged when it's the 10th Beged over you. So I understand that's the Machlokas. When Davashem Niskavin is Mutter Raser, can you or can you not do it? Legabi Hilcha Shatnis. Elavriach Basa Mechas Mishari, but to run away from the tax collector? Why is that Mutter? Vamar Shmuel Din Malchusadina. Doesn't Shmuel say Din Malchusadina? So that's why some have, this is where the answer came up. The Amar Rabbi Chinuch Bar Kana Amar Shmuel b'moches en lo kitzba d'vei Rabbi Yani Amri b'moches amin me'elav. That's where you have the two answers. Either it's a moches that just collects with no limit. There's no tax bracket. There's no limit. There's no percentage that you're paying. He's just collecting whatever he wants. Or Rabbi Yani who says it's a moches amin me'elav. He's authorizes himself. He's not authorized by the king. And some say those two answers in connection to a third source. Nodrin laharagnu lecharamnu lemochsin sheet shal truma sheet shal beis melech. So if these haragin, these murderers or ganavim or mochsim or tax collectors come after your property, you're allowed to say, I take a neder that this belongs to the Beis Melech, that this isn't mine, it's already been dedicated to the Beis Melech, so you better not mess with this, because taking this stuff, the king is going to be after you if you take this stuff. Or that I promise it's already truma, even though you're lying. You're allowed to say those things in order to get out of having to give to these people. Ulamoksin, to the I understand murderers and the bandits. I understand you're allowed to lie to them to get them off your back. But the tax collectors, from Shmuel din b'machusadina, some Rav Chanina bar Kana Shmuel b'machshen l'kitzva the Riyani am b'machsom in me'elav. So again, those same two answers that it's not an authorized tax collector. Says Tosfos, unbelievable that when we say Nodun laharagim, that a guy is out there to kill you and he's going to kill you if you don't give him your land, that you're allowed to lie to him. You could say a neder that's a lie. Says Tosfos that b'nedarim mefarish to amra b'sfas of stam ye'asru kol perish ba'olam alai im einim shal truma u'mechashev belibo hayom. You take the neder verbally that all the payros in the world are going to be usher to me if I'm lying to you, and you should have in mind in your heart of hearts it should all be usher to me today if I'm lying to you, and then tomorrow will be mutter to you. So since you're thinking that I dvarim shabalev inam dvarim, okay, but we have to make an exception for this case. In case of an onus like this, so dvarim shabalev. So one could ask, well, what's the value of that? What's the value of if you're lying, you're lying. Meaning, so you're in your heart of hearts, you're saying differently. So it could be in Hilchos Nedarim, in order for the neder not to be chal, you need to say it in your heart. Also, in Hilchos Midvar Sheker Tirchak, that we never want to, as much as we can avoid, a straight-out lie, even in those situations where it's mutter to lie, that's what the Lashon Tirchak, some of the Acharonim explain. It doesn't just say it's asur to be Meshaker. Midvar Sheker Tirchak, you stay as far away from a lie as possible, means even when you're allowed to lie, stay away from the lie. Stay away from a real lie, like Yaakov Avinu. He had to lie in order to get the brachos, but that's how Chazal dash, and everything he said wasn't an actual lie. There was a way to interpret it that it was true. So over here as well, don't say anything that can't possibly be true. Say things that you need an extra word to add into the sentence to make them true, and therefore could be understood to be true. Ravashi Amar b'moches Kanani. Ravashi adds in a third answer that we're dealing with the moches Kanani. The Tanya, because you have a brisa, Yisrael Kanani Anna, so Yisrael and a Kanani who's causing him trouble, who's obviously trying to steal from him. Shabal Adina, come to Adin Torim, Ati Yachal Zakeh, Badina Yisrael Zakeh, Uvam Lokach Dinenu. If you're able to be Mazaka the Jew based on the Dine Torah, so do that and say, sorry, tell the Kanani, sorry, this is our din. Badina Kananim Zakeh, if you're able to be Mazaka the Yisrael based on the secular law, so then do that. Vam Lokach Dinchem, say, it's not our din, it's your din. Vim Lav, and if neither of the legal systems are going to help you out, so then you trick him into doing whatever you can to get the Jew off the hook. That's Rabbi Shmuel says. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Bo Nala Ba'akifin Mnei Kiddush Hashem. No, you can't do that because you have to worry about Kiddush Hashem over here. Rabbi Kiva, Taim Adika Kiddush Hashem, Aleka Kiddush Hashem, Ba'in, V'gezel Kanani, Mishari. But wait a second. Rabbi Kiva seems to be saying you can literally steal from the Kanani, do whatever you can to trick him, to get his money out of him, if it weren't for the issue of Kiddush Hashem, implying that it's mutter to steal from a Kanani. Zafirin minayin legezel kanani shu asur. Rabbi Akiva himself said, how do we know that gezel kanani is asur? Tamlomer achinim kargula tielo. Shalayim shachanu v'yetze. That Beis Din can't just take the Eved, an Eved who sells himself to a guy. Beis Din can't just take him away from the guy. You can't just steal him from the guy. You have to pay for him to redeem him from the guy. V'yachli yiglam alav. I might think you could let the Kanani take advantage of you and overcharge you and double charge you and triple charge you to redeem the Eved who sold him, the Jew Eved who sold himself to the guy. So you have to do a proper cheshbon. But either way, the point is you can't steal from the guy. So how could Rabbi Akiva say that it's okay to totally corrupt the din? So I'm Rav Yosef Lokasha. Haba Kanani, haba Ger Toshev. No, there's a difference between a Kanani and a Ger Toshev. You're allowed to steal from a Kanani, just not from a Ger Toshev. Amle Abayev, Travai Gabe Adadi Kasivi. They're both written in the pasuk right next to each other. Lo Lecha Elo Leger, Shnemar Leger. Lo Leger Tzedek Elo Ger Toshev. Not only does it include a ger tzedek, even a ger toshav, shnemar leger toshav, and then mishpachas ger, the phrase mishpachas ger, zeovid chavim, refers to a regular guy. So kshomar oleker, zeanimka lavodas chavim, and it says oleker is someone who sold to avodazara itself. So, but the point is that whether it's a ger toshav or a guy, you're not allowed to steal from either one of them. Whatever the halacha is by one, the halacha should be by the other. Se'alam ravalo kasha. You're not allowed to steal from a guy, but if you borrowed money from him, you don't have to pay it back. To hafkas halva aso, you are allowed to do. Amle abaye evin ivri hafkas halva aso hu. But wait a second, by the evin ivri, we said you're not allowed to take the evin ivri away from him. But that's hafkas halva aso. Why is that hafkas halva aso? Because when he paid for the evin, he's paying for the work. So the evin owes the future work. So all you're doing is withholding that future work that you owe him. So it's hafkas halva aso. It's not stealing. He doesn't own the goof of the Eved, he owns the work that the Eved's going to give him, meaning the Eved owes him that work, and we see you're still not allowed to steal. So Rav Lutheme Damarava, Eved Ivri Gufo Kanoi. No, there's Rav Lishitasa that he does own the actual Eved. Amar Rav Yibargi Damar Roshim Chasida, Gezel Kanani Aser. You're not allowed to steal from a Kanani, Avedasa Mutaris. But his Aveda is Mutri. You're allowed to keep his Aveda. Gzelo Asr Dam Rafuna Minan Gezel Kanani, Shu Asr Shneh Marvi Achalta, as Kalam, Masha Hashem Lekach and Osein Lecha, Bezman Shein Musun Biyadcha, Velo Bezman Shein Musun Biyadcha. When they're given over in your hands, and you have control, so then you have control over them, but to steal from them you're not allowed to do. Avedasa muteres. How do I know that their avedas muter? Dam Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amirav minayin la avedas hakanani shi muteres. Shneimar lekol avedas achecha la achecha tamaksuviyatamaksu lekanani. That you have to do hashavas aveda on your brethren's items, but not on the kananim. Veima hani mili hechad lasi liyadi dlo mechayv laduri basra. Aval hechad lasi liyadi ema lihadre. Maybe though, all it's telling me is you don't have to do hashavas aveda. But if you do pick it up, you have to return it. Meaning, you could be misalim from it. If you see an aved that belongs to a Kanani, so you don't have to pick it up. Maybe that's the heter, but who says that you can keep it, that you can pick it up and keep it for yourself? So Maravina Mutsasa Dasa Liyade Mashma. So Mutsasa implies that you already found it and still that you already have it in your hands and still your pati, you're allowed to keep it. Says Umar Vaiter, Tanya, Pinchas ben Yoram, Makum Sheishchil Hashem, Afilu Avedaso Asr. If there's a Chil Hashem issue, then even his Aveda is Asr. Then you're not allowed to keep his Aveda either. Amar Shmuel Ta'uso Muteris, but a Ta'us Akum is Muter. If he made a mistake, you're in the store, you're in whatever, Starbucks or well, Starbucks on. CEO is a Jew, right? You're in a store and it's a Gaishon store and they give you extra change or whatever, they mischarge you. Someone told me he was in Sims and they messed up his bill by like they saved him like $500 or something. Then he realized Cy Sims is a Jew, isn't he? Right. So he had to go back and he paid it back, right? So Amar Shmuel to Usam Muteres, but the Taus is Mutter. Kiyad Shmuel Zavin Mikuti Lekana Dedava. Shmuel bought from Mikuti a golden bowl. Vimar De Parzlo B'Dalad Zuzay, and he paid for a copper bowl for Dalad Zuz, and the guy gave it to him. Vivul Echad Zuzah. Shmuel threw in an extra Zuz to try to trick the guy, to make the guy think that he didn't know, he wasn't keeping close Cheshbon either. Meaning he wanted to make it seem like he he wasn't keeping a close cheshbon, so that it wouldn't be a chilul Hashem. Because if the guy thought that Shmuel was keeping close cheshbon and then later realized it, then he's going to realize the rabbi cheated him. So Rav Kana zaven mikuti meya v'asum chavisa b'meya. He bought 120 barrels for the price of 100. Vivle chazuz. He also threw an extra zuz. Amle chazid alach chasamichna. And he said, you see, I was relying on your counting. I went to throw in when you asked me for $100. I went to giving you 101. If I was relying on my own cheshbon, I was relying on your cheshbon. One more line. Ravina zavan dikla hu v'kuti litzalcha. He and Akuti bought a dekel tree together to cut it up into pieces. Amle l'shame kadam va'isi me'ikaro. He said to Shamish, bring me the thicker pieces that were cut from the bottom of the tree. Dekuti minyana yada, because all he's going to count is how many pieces he gets. He's not going to even pay attention to whether he's getting the higher quality or the lower quality, as long as he doesn't pay attention to it. So it's a ta'us, and the ta'us you're allowed to take advantage of. But the geneva you're not allowed to take advantage of. Again, unless there's a concern of possible chilul Hashem. Okay, let's stop there.